It's that time of the week again when we talk to our tech guy, Richard Pascoe. Good morning to you, Richard.
Good morning, Paul.
Now, Richard, an exciting week, I guess. First of all, now you usually give the quick tip of the year last, but you want to give a quick tip of the day today.
No, let's save that to the end.
Oh, okay.
Well,
you've got
that at the end.
Well, when you sent me through the stuff, it's on the top.
Yeah, I know. So let's put it at the end.
All right.
You know what I'm like.
Yeah, just let me cut and paste. Hang on a second. Oh, I'll leave that. I'll leave that till later. Now, the demise of Apple has been greatly exaggerated. Please explain.
So several weeks ago, Apple announced they may miss profit expectations. They were savaged for it on the financial markets. Shares plummeted down there. And then this week, they released their financial sales. So while iPhone sales were down for the quarter, Apple posted revenue of $84.31 billion and net profit of nearly $20 billion. The second best quarter ever.
Oh, dear.
Now, if that's Apple going broke, I'd love to go broke like that too. I'm really sorry. So, you know, it's the financial markets really gave them a beating for it. So, you know, second best quarter ever, Paul. Shares have gone back up. I just think, you know, trying to pick winners in the financial market, I wish you all the luck in the world.
Mm. Now, Apple, of course, no telethons for them. Well, why would there be? They make huge profits because, you know, they'll get a charger that probably costs $2, you know, made overseas, and then charge you $30 for it.
Yeah, it really is about we've all got a smartphone now.
Yep.
So lots of, I mean, Samsung have just announced that their financial statements aren't going to be that great either. So, you know, there's lots of them out there who are going along and announcing this because we've all got smartphones and we're not swapping them over enough. That's basically it at the moment. So, you know, we're waiting for that next big thing to come along in the way of smartphones. I mean, they're always going to improve the cameras out there. And, you know, we're talking 3D, I think, camera on the new iPhone that's coming out in September.
3D?
So,
3D.
You know, we 3D cam, which doesn't excite me at all.
It does excite me. So, I love 3D. I love 3D movies. I love all that sort of thing.
Do you?
Yeah.
I loathe 3D movies, Paul.
What?
I really do. You go in the cinema, it's a bit darker. I've got to put glasses on over my glasses. I don't like that at all, Paul. And you know, it's, yes.
Bah humbug.
Yeah, bar humbug for 3D movies. The sooner they get rid of them, the better.
Oh, look, it's such a great trouble to pick up those light glasses and put them on your head. I know it's such an imposition in that dark theatre.
But it's going over my own glasses at the moment.
Oh, well, sorry,
I can't.
You can't. So glasses on glasses you just can't handle in life.
No.
All right,
no,
fair,
I can't.
Fair
and
enough.
And it's darker. To me, it's not how film should be. That's just it. So yeah.
Oh, I see. I like this.
I've got my old man.
Yeah, go on.
I've got my old man hat on this morning for when it comes to 3D movies.
Yes, bah humbug. Now, yes, because I love the theatre being darker. That means Marion and I always sit in the back row of the cinema. Though I've got a thing about the back row. I go up the back row, left or right, and Marion. I like it when it's darker because I can hold Marion's hand and it's more romantic.
It's very good, Paul. I don't particularly like sitting in the back row because you're too far away from the screen.
No, I don't believe that. You try the back row. The screen is the same size. What do you sit down the front?
Let me tell.
Yeah.
No, not in the front. In about the middle. Let me tell you, Paul, I have tried the back row in my time before.
I'm sure you have. We're talking to our tech guy, Richard Pascoe, this morning. Richard, email scam targeting Aussie Netflix users. Now, this interests us because we have Netflix.
You do. So, you know, just be wary out there. There is an email doing the rounds telling you your account's been temporarily suspended. And that would send people into a blind panic, including you and Marion. Got to say that. And it encourages you to log on, go along and verify your details. So, you know, please don't respond to this. If you can go along, log on to the computer on Netflix, log on to the TV on Netflix, there is nothing wrong with your account. They will get you to fill in information, including your credit card details. If you do that, your credit card will be emptied within about 30 seconds.
Okay.
So, you know, just be aware. Again, be wary of these email scams that are doing the rounds.
Now, I've got to take you to task here, mate. You just said that Marion and I would go into a blind panic. We would not do that. We're not blind panic people.
If your Netflix got cancelled, Paul, you would not be a happy man. I know you love your, you and Marion love your Netflix.
That's exactly right. You know what we've been watching? Gracie and Frankie. Have you ever watched that, Grace and Frankie?
Yes, I have. It's a very good show.
It's a great show, isn't it? It's got Martin Sheen in it as well, and he plays a gay man in it, Martin Sheen.
I know.
We're talking to our tech guy, Richard Pascoe, about all things tech and movies and how he doesn't like to go into the dark and put 3D glasses over his own glasses because he's got his old man hat on today. Bah humbug. Now, Clive Palmer's mobile app could track voter data, but there's no law that can stop it.
I think this is a fascinating story. So, you know, Clive Palmer is all over the TV down here. I'm sure he is up there, and we've got those annoying text messages from him. Has he texted you yet, Paul?
No. But you can't miss Clive Palmer. And yeah, he lost all that weight, and now he's put it back on again.
He has too. So, yes, I think he's been eating those dinosaurs that run around his place. No offence, Clive, if somebody's listening.
No offence, Clive, you're eating dinosaurs. Yeah, no offence.
You wouldn't be wandering past Clive's dinner table, let me tell you. So, you know, he had an app developed, which is a Clive Palmer-type game, and it's available on Android devices at the moment. The app developers says it's not collecting personal information. I'd take that with a huge grain of salt. The app can actually go along, track who's downloaded it, the location of users, gather your email address, find out what sort of phone you've got. It's a type of information, Paul, that political parties would love. They really would. So, you know, I think this is like the tip of the iceberg on there. Can I just warn you, if you have downloaded the app, I'd be getting rid of it. I really would. It really concerns me, this sort of thing, because we don't know whether they are collecting the information. And, you know, I'm not saying is, but I think in the background, every political party will be looking at things like this to go along and say, you know, yep, Paul Macon downloaded it up in Queensland, Richard downloaded in Adelaide, and, you know, they can keep some idea about where you are, you know, as well. Mm. And, you know, really, once it gathers your phone number as well, guarantee Clive's going to send you more text messages. You don't need that sort of thing.
That Clive Palmer game looks ridiculous. I mean, it's got Clive Palmer tumbling over things and all. It looks a ridiculous game anyway. I'm sure there's more interesting games that you can go online and download.
Oh, there's many more interesting games. You know, I'd rather be playing the Homer Simpson donut game than playing Clive Palmer's games.
There you go.
And I'm sure Clive Palmer will be interested in Homer Simpson's donuts as well.
Yes. That's right. Because Clive, you know, I always imagine he eats something like, you remember the Flintstones when it starts and you have that big chop? Remember the big chop?
The Brontosaurus. And the Brontosaurus burger.
The Brontosaurus burger. And he comes
and
in.
And he goes back. I said that, Paul. He eats dinosaurs that go running around his property. I'm sure about that.
Oh, dear. Clive Palmer. Will he get back in? I don't know. Hold on,
Paul.
What?
He would get back in. It depends if the door's wide enough for him to get back in.
Exactly. There's really bad joke. Now, the last thing for today, the problem with Wi-Fi in homes and businesses. Why is there a problem?
Well, there is, because people want Wi-Fi to extend to all the parts of the home or the business. So you might have a Wi-Fi connection in one end of your home and you want it to get to the other end of the home. You know, you want to be able to go along and make sure that, you know, if you carry your laptop to the other end of the house, you're still on Wi-Fi. But a lot of the times we don't know when we come in to look at homes and say, why isn't Wi-Fi carrying? What's in the walls at the time? So if there's metal in the walls, that can really suck the life out of the Wi-Fi network. If you've got the router in the kitchen next to that wonderful metal fridge that you've got, or the metal microwave, that can actually destroy Wi-Fi signals as well. So there's lots of issues that people get, Paul. first thing I always tell people is look at the router you've got. If it's more than 3 years old, you may need another one. And people say, you know, surely they'd last longer than 3 years. A lot of cases, Paul, they don't. So, you know, if your Wi-Fi connection's dropping in and out all the time, your internet connection's dropping in and out, yeah, have a look at getting another router. If you've got poor speed coming into your home, let's say, you know, because I still see some people are getting like 3 megabits or less, it can be struggle to be boosted to all areas of your home as well. So if you've got poor connection coming in, it may never extend. You also sometimes will get people encouraged to put extenders in the home. Can I just say extenders at the moment, I think they struggle all the time. What I think people should really do is if you want a really good connection right throughout your home, have a look at what's called a mesh network system, which is like Google's Wi-Fi. Now, it's a really foolproof way to extend the coverage right around your home or your business as well. They're very easy to set up. They're actually invented by the US military, Paul, the mesh network system. Very, very, very good system. And what it does is you put one of these next to your router and hook it up to your router. And if you're getting, let's say, 15 or 20 meg, you know, coming in next to the router, and you put a couple of these around your home business, you'll get 20 meg all round. It doesn't drop out. Very, very good idea. Very simple to do. So that's the Google Wi-Fi and the mesh network system.
Terrific. We're talking to our tech guy, Richard Pascoe. A question without notice. How is 5G going? Is that in coming in, or what's the go with it at the moment? Do you know?
Yeah, it is coming in. Telstra have got a couple of towers up around Australia now. Optus are putting some towers up around. It's in some of the suburbs now. But we've got really no devices that run on 5G.
Nothing.
So, you know, we're waiting for nothing. So, you know, we're waiting for smartphones to come down with 5G on them. We're waiting for like mobile routers to come down with 5G. And, you know, I expect to see the first ones round about March, April this year.
Okay. Well, that's not far off.
No, but we're starting to, all the towers are all starting to go up, you know, around. And, you know, I'm very excited about the 5G network. Got to say that.
I'm not.
Because especially, why not, Paul?
Well, I'm because of what it's going to emit. That's why I'm worried about 5G, mate.
Yep. Bit of misinformation around that. I actually had somebody the other day send me all of this information, you know, about the 5G network. But you know,
mate, I think the phone companies are going to be, you know, churning out all the information about this. Talk about misinformation. I think the phone companies are the ones, mate. They already say that, you know, if you look on the World Health Organization, you won't find anything about, you know, mobile phones causing brain tumours, and that's rubbish because I, as you know, I've done a story on that, and in the World Health Organization website, it does say that some brain tumours, there's a chance that mobile phone and the frequencies emitted from that microwave signals can cause brain tumours. So I don't believe the phone companies when they bring out all their marketing about this, mate. I really don't. I'm incredibly worried about 5G. That's the research.
I'm not talking about the phone company's information that comes out there, because I'm exactly the same with you. I'm always independent about this sort of thing.
Okay.
For those sort of things. But I think there is another side. I mean, this person that went to great lengths to send me, you know, and, you know, never labeled what they sent me, but called me all these sorts of names because, you know, they hate the 4G network, the 5G, they keep every type of network. Sent me stuff from, you know, magazines and supposedly scientific articles that had no basis in fact at all. You know, World Health Organization, I will listen to, not an issue at all. And I've read the stuff that's gone up there. But I think there's so much, you know, just because you put it on the internet, Paul, sometimes doesn't make it fact.
That's right. But we do know, and the World Health Organization has said that mobile phones could cause brain tumours. We have Charlie Teo, a brain surgeon in Sydney I respect very much, and he's been, other medical people have poo-barred him because of this, but he says mobile phones cause brain tumours. Now, that's the 4G, 3G and all of that. Now we've got 5G. That's a whole different ball game again. So I would like to see that scientific evidence that you have about 5G that it's safe.
Yeah, I will.
Good. That's great.
Yep.
Now, listen, I cut and pasted a quick tip of the day, so I put it down the bottom. So what is the quick tip of the day?
You know, sometimes, Paul, you and Marion might go out to, let's say, an establishment.
Yes.
And you go for a bit of a wander, and you suddenly find, where the hell did I park my car?
Oh, I've done that.
Just remember.
I've done that.
We've all done that, Paul. Yeah, we've all done that, especially if you've gone wandering in a strange place. So just remember, in notifications on your iPhone, so if you swipe to the left on your iPhone, it will actually tell you where you parked your car.
Wait a minute.
On there as well.
So tell me what you do. You go to settings?
So, no, you literally on your home screen.
Oh, home screen,
swipe
right.
To the left.
Right.
You swipe to the left and under in there should be where you've parked your car.
Hang on, I've done that. So, park car.
There you go.
I didn't know that. Now, it's my car at the moment is near Captain Cook Highway, 9.7 kilometres away. That's funny because I just parked it out the front this morning. Hang on a sec.
Hell.
It's gone!
I think you might...
It's gone! Oh, hang on a second. Marion took it. That's all right.
There we go. So and Android users out there, if you open up the Google Maps as well, you can actually go along and save your parking location on Google Maps. And if somebody's stolen your car like Paul, you can actually see it going down the road at the same time.
Hey, listen, tell me, what's the technology? This is amazing, folks. So get your iPhone, Android as well.
Android, you've got to register it on Google Maps.
So
you go along and you just tap on Google Maps.
Yep.
That's where I put my car.
Okay, so time. I've got iPhone. So I went to the left, as you said, and there it is, parked car. Now, why am I able to know my car is near the Captain Cook Highway and 9 kilometres away at the moment?
Because it's using the location is turned on. So when you parked your car originally in the morning, it knows it's your car because you get into your car all the time. It knows that's Paul's car.
Wow.
So it doesn't take other people's cars. So it's kind of like a regular thing. So it's like we can set the phone to go along and say, when I'm in my car, do not disturb me while I'm driving.
Ah.
And I think that's something as well. In the settings as well, you can go along and do that and turn that on.
Ah.
So you don't get calls while you're in the car.
That is fantastic. So Marion has got the car and she's at the Captain Cook Highway, 9.7 kilometres away. I just want to know why she's there. I thought she was in town. Anyway, that's something we'll check on later. Never mind.
Of course, controversy this morning
controversy.
In the Macon household.
Yeah, that's right. All right, mate. Look, thank you very much. We'll see you next Friday. Let's hear that website before you go.
Head over to talktech.com.au.
Good on you, mate. Thank you and see you next week.
Thanks, Paul.